We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Throws a matching pass upfield. Reggie Town Fields gathers it in on a dead run and races all the way to score from Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sends a whole burst through it. 20.
Sidestep to tackle. Runs left. 25 still on his feet. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back, number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciappala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciappala with my co-host, my partner in crime, former LA Rams defensive back Michael Stewart. I know it's been a hot minute, but here we are finally back on the air. It's been a while. Mike, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, Derek Ciappala. Man, good to hear from you, buddy. And man, it's been a minute, fans, but we are back on it and we are ready to get after it.
Do owe some apologies there for all of our listeners. You know, we're not trying to be like inconsistent. It's as a teacher, you get towards the end of any quarter, whether it's first quarter, second quarter, third quarter.
Yeah.
You get bogged down in grades and so on and so forth and dealing with all the stuff that goes with it. And that's pretty much what happened to me. And, you know, that takes us off the air a bit. So I want to let you know that, hey, that's over. We got the draft coming up. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to catch up on. And the first one I think that totally demands our respect is Aaron Donald, who just a few days ago, a little over a week ago now, made the decision to retire. Our guys over at Butting Heads covered it real well for you, but you haven't heard from us and what we're thinking about it and our thoughts on Aaron Donald, and he deserves that from us. So that's where we're going to focus today. Later on this week, Mike and I'll get on the air. We're going to talk about all the offseason signings thus far, and we're at, now that they're kind of laid out, I don't think they're really signing anybody else at this point. We're going to go into what this means for the draft. They do have some cap room, and you know, we'll see where this goes, but certainly a little bit of a shocker in some respects, but if you think back to the last couple of years, Mike, we've heard whispers. We've heard lots of whispers, actually, and Aaron Donald finally made it real. Retires after 10 years. What were your first thoughts when you heard the news?
My first thoughts was simply, I thought it was a gag of some sort. Because I'm like, okay, this didn't make sense, the timing of it all and things like that. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to really jump on this too quick. But then, you know, got a couple calls here and there. And then I looked at a couple other things. I'm like, oh, I guess this is for real. Because, you know, they said they had renegotiated something on his contract. And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe they said, hey, we'll give you a parting gift. But first thing I thought it was a little bit of a non-issue. And then it became real.
Well, everything I've read about it kind of seems to point towards that whole restructure was for the purpose of kind of fixing the contract for retirement, giving him his last part and making a lot of cash. I get that. I was stunned to hear the news that he had pretty much told Sean McVay that he was done when the playoffs are over. And then they held on to this for a while. And I don't know that I understand the reason behind that other than to give Donald time to maybe change his mind, A, or B, announce his retirement on his own terms. But the Rams have apparently known since the Detroit loss that this was happening. And that blew me away a little bit, because if you look at the free agent signings and so on and so forth, which we'll cover later this week, they didn't really do it much of anything to address that new hole. And they actually seemed to kind of go everywhere else. They went to corner, did a few things on the offensive line, did some work there. But that defensive line, wow. Now you have some stuff you got to do.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you, DC, in the sense that unless they feel like they have an ace in the hole, because the way they're operating, they feel like it looks like they got an ace in the hole of some sort. But to your point, yeah, I mean, you got the best player to leave that position. You're not going to get someone to fill it. Now, it may be somebody that comes along, just like Aaron came along. Someone may come along in the next couple years and be a guy. Matter of fact, there's a kid, he's a 16-year-old sophomore, will be a junior this year. This guy is giving people the business in high school. They're talking about he'll definitely be the number one of the one in 2026, I believe it is. But you know, eventually he could work himself into, or he could fade. But as far as right now and here, the here and now, yeah, they've done little thus far to, you know, try to shore up. You know, maybe you got to go get two guys to feel for one. But it'll be interesting to see what happens again as we talk about the draft a little later on in the week.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we're already starting to see some folks saying, well, maybe he changes his mind later on. Maybe, and you know, Marshall Faulk was like, maybe he didn't appreciate Chris Jones' contract and he wants to be the highest paid guy, so on and so forth.
Right.
I don't think it was that. He's been talking about it, albeit a little kind of low key, since the Super Bowl. That's been the talk for a while.
Yeah, it has. And it's interesting. There was it was a pretty long kind of podcast or retirement story with him and his wife, Erica. And, you know, they talk about it in there that when he originally had a retirement letter in 2022, but he said they mailed it, but it was technically not turned in. But at that time, he felt like he wanted to only play like 8 years, but then he won the Super Bowl. Then it was like, coming back. But, 10 years, and I think we noted a few times last year, it was the first time that I really kind of seen, you know, Aaron Donald taking series off, plays off. I'm like, okay, man, either this guy is playing hurt, or he just like, okay, none of these other guys don't seem to be, you know, why am I going to keep putting myself with everything in there if no one else seems to be doing the same? So, you know, just from the article and some articles that he's spoken about, he really talks about he leans on being burnt out. So you go burnout, 10 years, you're in them trenches banging. A lot of it is on you. You're getting double, triple team pretty much every single play. And we've talked a lot about his offseason conditioning and his workouts. And so, yeah, if you've done that for 10 years straight, yeah, at some point in time, you're like, yeah, do I want to go out here and do all this stuff? Or maybe I want to do half of it in my leisure time. So we'll see, though. You know, I think what happens to a lot of us you're good when you first go, but then it starts coming around. And I remember from, it was right after my rookie year, I had a player that played with me, running back Lonnie. And the next year he had gotten released. And so when I saw him that offseason, he was just kind of like, hey, man, how you doing? He's like, man, it was like, you know, late May sometime. He goes, man, I was going by this park and I just got out and I just started running. And I go, okay. So that was way back when, but it was to where a guy knew that, yeah, man, my career at that level is over, even though he only played that one season. But the finality sometimes gets you to say, well, man, what else am I going to be doing? You know what? Let me go give it another shot. But that will have to be seen. As a right nine, Aaron Donald says, I am shutting it down after 10 years and pretty much saying he's burned out. So we'll see.
He's still only 32.
Right.
And he might be burned out. He probably is, honestly. I'll say this. Right now, the Rams have $21.6, almost $21.7 million in cap space available to them. They did a whole bunch of restructuring, and yet they really haven't signed anybody else. They're going to sign some rookies in the draft. That won't be a whole lot of cash. They'll definitely have some money left over. They will be able to possibly roll over some for next year when the contracts are a little bit different because of the decision with Aaron Donald. I would say that by the way, next year's a $38 million cap hit for Aaron Donald. He's not going to be on the team.
Right.
Because of the way they restructured his contract. So I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to about November and the Rams are right in the thick of playoff hunt and Aaron Donald's like, okay, I'm ready to come play. I wouldn't be surprised. There's something different about sitting at home and watching football if you can still go. And I just wouldn't be surprised because you were a veteran. And by the time you were, you know, 6-7 years in the league, you knew how camp was going to work. You knew how things were going to be. And I'm pretty sure the veterans dreaded camp for the most part. Did you not?
Well, yeah, you did. I guess I somewhat liked it in the sense of, you know, you start getting, we call it the rust off and your timing. And just part of it is the competition of, oh, let me see, they're going to bring a guy in. Let's see what he has. But again, when you have nothing else to prove, you know, I wasn't really in that position. I was still trying to prove myself. It's the 10th year. But Aaron Donald, I mean, once you've already been labeled as one of the best, if not the best, to ever do it at your position, I don't know how much higher you can go. So I just feel like he's saying, hey, I just don't have the passion needed to play at a level. Now, he probably can tell himself, yeah, I could go out there and play. But, you know, for guys who play the game outside of money, they play because of the competition. They play because of camaraderie. And they play because when they step out on the field, they're playing it really against themselves. And let me see what I can do and get done today to help my team win any which way we can. But there comes a point, though, you know, the money is not going to motivate you. More accolades is not going to motivate you. More Super Bowls are not going to motivate you because it's a physical game. And, you know, Derek, as we're getting up in age, I'll speak for myself. You get a few extra pounds on you and you're like, man, all right, let me get back to working out. You go like, yeah, I remember when I could just go do this for however long I need it. But now, it's a little bit different ball game. So I could imagine someone like Aaron, who's been, you know, again, you know, banging. If he was just solely coming off the edge his whole career, he may not be like this. And I will agree with you, though. that it gets down late in the season, he's going to be probably one of those guys who, oh man, you look like you can still play guy, and he'll be ready to go. But when you're able to come in and, hey, Aaron, we just need you for third down situations, man, good. You know, 10, 12, 15 snaps a game. I go in every now and then and I can just go full tilt for a play or two. Yeah, you might be willing to do that. You know, we saw Eric Weddle come back and, you know, make a pretty big dent in things, but he also paid a little price with his body. So we'll see.
I just find it hard to believe that it at least won't come up. He might be done. He's probably done. But for a guy who was so dominant, who is still a very capable, very good player, of being that dominant, to sit at home and watch these games instead of being there, and, you know, your body is still in good enough shape to where you can go. I find it hard to believe that he won't be at least tempted come October, November, especially if they're in the playoff hunt. But we'll find out. Sometimes people can do a Barry Sanders and just walk away and you don't hear from him again for 30 years. That's what happened to Barry Sanders, right?
That's what happened to Barry. That's what somewhat happened to Megatron. You know, it's been a couple guys who you go like, wow, man, it looked like he had a lot more left in him. And that's what it sounds like with Aaron, that he sounds pretty fulfilled. And I think we've talked off air, you know, once you get married and you start having kids, that changes the dynamic as well. And so, and I think someone like Aaron probably is very conscious of the CTE that, you know, is heavily, you know, routinely talked about now. So one thing that stood out in one of the comments I sent from him, like just basically, you don't want to overstay, especially if you don't have the passion. So it'll be interesting, but I will totally agree. Pretty a little bit shocking to see, you know, a guy with his ability still, not to play at a high level, but still probably one of the tops to do it, even when you got the guy from, you know, Kansas City over there. But I'm going to go back to your earlier statement. I don't know what the Rams are going to do because, I mean, he did a lot.
I mean, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do either, but we'll talk about that next, among other things. Before we get knee-deep into Aaron Donald's career and what we think happens next, we do want to talk about our sponsor over at Prize Picks. Yes, Prize Picks. We talked a lot about them during the football season, but yeah, hey, it's over now, but the action on the floor is heating up. Right now it's tournament season, or in the NBA, you're fighting for playoff home court, and there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So get on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries on Prize Picks. Again, the number one sports app for fantasy in America. So, want to play alongside some of our favorite players like Meek Mill, Sugar Sean O'Malley? You can find community plays on the promos tab of the app to view these entries and others from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. And now we're in the tournament, and you can be part of the Prize Picks for both men and women's college basketball. One last thing about all this. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets hurt. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and is not returned in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays live. Good to have. Check it out. Download the app today. Use the code RAMSTALK for a first deposit match up to $100. One more time, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code RAMSTALK for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so I'm going to go over a couple of things here. Just to note, check this out. Tell me, what as you listen to this, Mike, what do you hear? Ready?
Yep.
Here we go. 2014, 12 games start, played full 16, 9 sacks. 2015, by the way, Pro Bowl that year. 2015. 16 games started, 11 sacks, a fumble recovery, pass defense, 69 total tackles, 22 for loss. By the way, AP Defensive Player of the Year, second place, and AP All-Pro, first team, Pro Bowl. 2016, 5 pass defenses, 2 forced fumbles, 8 sacks, 47 combined tackles, 17 tackles for loss, first team All-Pro, Pro Bowl. 26, age 26 or 2017, plays in 14 games. Remember, he held out that year. 11 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 41 combined tackles, 15 for loss. AP Defensive Player of the Year, All Pro Team, First Team, Pro Bowl. 2018, 16 games started, 20 and a half sacks, the most for a defensive tackle in a very long time. 4 forced fumbles. 59 combined tackles, 25 tackles for loss. That's 2018. 2019, 16 games started, 2 forced fumbles, fumble recovery, 12 and a half sacks, 48 combined tackles, 20 tackles for loss. Again, first team All-Pro. Oh, by the way, had a safety that year. 2020, 16 games played, started, 4 forced fumbles, 13 and a half sacks, 45 combined tackles, 14 tackles for loss. Again, the defensive player of the year, first team All-Pro, is age 30 or Super Bowl year, 17 games played, 17 games started, 4 forced fumbles, 12 and a half sacks, 84 combined tackles, 19 for loss, 25 quarterback hits, first team All-Pro, Pro Bowl. Last year, the year when things didn't go so hot, 2022, 11 games, had his injuries, 5 sacks, 49 combined tackles, 10 tackles for loss, still made the Pro Bowl. And this year at age 32, 16 games started, 8 sacks, 53 combined tackles, 16 for loss, 23 quarterback hits, and first team All-Pro, Pro Bowl. And one thing I want to know about this year, there was nobody else on the defensive line in terms of DTs that would take pressure off of him. So he was double and triple teamed all the time. And guess who ate because of it? Kobe Turner. So there we go. That is his entire career in a nutshell. A total, Mike, of 10 Pro Bowl appearances, 8 All-Pro teams. First team All-Pro, by the way. Three-time Defensive Player of the Year, one-time Rookie of the Year. So, Hall of Fame, first ballot? What do you think?
Oh, for sure.
What stands out to you the most about hearing all those numbers in his career?
Well, what stands out to me is you look at someone who's listed at 6'1", which means maybe you're more like 6.5", but nevertheless, that stands out. That type of resume really speaks for itself. And I think of a menacing, consistent, I'm going to be in your face, down in and down out, game in, game out. With the exception, what, the 1 year, he's pretty much played every single game every year. 10 Pro Bowls speaks for itself. Again, the tackles, the TFLs, the sacks. All those things speaks for itself. And again, this was done mostly double and triple team his whole career. So, I mean, you're not only beating two or three guys every down, you're doing that for over a 10-year period where you are making offenses, all the whole line, account for you. So, yeah, definitely, no doubt, hands down, first team. Consensus, unanimous Hall of Fame. If it's not that, then somebody's just a hater. But wow, that is impressive. How about you?
That's somebody telling me the other day that Aaron Donald at the end here, these last couple of years especially, was on the downslope. That he was no longer who he was, but still pretty good. Just wasn't that elite player anymore. Anybody who's thinking that needs to go back and watch the film from this year. Did he put the gaudy numbers that he's put in the past? No. You got to remember the Rams basically thinned out the front seven for him. Like, there was no partner in crime.
There was none
to take the heat off him and allow him to eat a bit more. Matter of fact, it was him that was allowing other people to eat this year.
Right.
So I would really just, when he did show out, he still showed out. He still has all those things. He's still just as fast as he was before. He was still just as powerful as he was before. But, you know, when you lose guys, and that, to me, by the way, if I'm a player in the NFL and this is not a hit in the Rams. I understand why they did what they did, by the way. If you're seeing some of the guys that you're ride or die guys, basically, who have been with you through all of it, and you're seeing the team roll over all that talent now, and you're letting all these guys go, guys that were your boys go. Honestly, I would probably lose a little fire, too, for the record. I would probably be a bit discouraged and maybe think, you know what? If I can go out on top here, which he did, I'm going to do that. And so I look at his career for me. And remember, I didn't get to see Deacon Jones play. I'm too young for that. And some of these great defensive linemen of the other eras. But as a 45-year-old man, I cannot think of anybody else more dominant on the interior of a line. Or let me try this. Anybody who moved around as much as he could in the line and was dominant than Aaron Donald. We saw him doing things with that body that I can't think of anybody else who was doing that, at least in this era. Well, J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt played end the entire time. So I'm just saying, for who he was, in the best moments, in the biggest moment, Super Bowl against the Bengals, with it all on the line, in stopping that fourth down play, that's legend status. That is the end of the road in terms of legendary plays that will always be out there at Rams history. And when you think about those moments, it stinks that he's gone, man. He's only 32. I'm sitting there thinking, wow, you know, He could play, could have played more. He gave us 10 good years. 2 Super Bowl runs, 1 Super Bowl win. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to have been alive to watch him play. He's not going to be one of those guys that I hear other people talk about. I got to watch him play. And I'm grateful for that.
Derek, you bring up such a great point and perspective. One of the things that gets lost in this whole professional sports idea is that the friendships, the family connections that you build, the people who you see when you're going in to park on Sunday, game days, you build those different connections. Even the people that may, you know, in Miami, we had a guy named Jimmy. He was kind of the on staff car wash guy. And he wasn't just a car wash guy. He was a detailer. But you can imagine the Florida heat, but he'd get those cars looking dialed in. You go to practice, drop him the keys, you come out, man, thanks, Jimmy, dialed in. So what gets missed is people think that it's just easy to see a good friend of yours, a teammate, could be your best buddy, get released because he got injured. Well, wait a minute. He came back. He did everything he could. You know, he lost a step. We're going to release him. So, yes, I think that gets lost in all of this. When you see good friends, good people, you know, being released for all kinds of reasons, yeah, that is definitely going to take a little steam, which is makes the whole, you know, we're a brotherhood, kinship, and we're family. It just kind of becomes somewhat of an oxymoron because, like, well, wait a minute, you guys say that. And then the next thing you know, and it's usually because of financial reasons, you let a guy go versus keeping a guy. The question I always have is, and again, I guess you can't be in someone else's pocket, but if you're an owner, you probably have enough money that's going to take care of your families for generations upon generations. And I just can't figure out that even owning a football team or some sports team, you're still trying to make more money than the next guy, as opposed to, why don't you flip it and go, you know, I am going to make this the best organization because we actually take care of our people at a super high level. Okay, so what, we may have to overpay for a guy. So what, we may have to pay some luxury tax fees. So what? You know, I got plenty of other businesses. I'm fine. I'm going to make sure the culture goes on because when you start getting rid of guys who are core to and central to the team unit, that's going to affect some things. And so I don't know, I'm digressing how many people are watching the NC2A tournament, but you can tell certain teams, they have a team chemistry that goes out on the court with them. Other teams, they don't. They get sent home early, or they may have a good game and then they just fade. So the point you brought out, Derek, really is, yes, how much did maybe seeing guys, you know, no longer there over the years, and we can point blank say last year he was really doing it by himself. Like, what more can you ask of a man? So, yeah, hats off to Big AD. Man, wish you the best in everything. Definitely going to miss you. And I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more about, you know, maybe some more of the real reasons on he said to call it quits besides just being a little burnt out.
Wow. You know, and in the end, that is, in the end, that is I think it's a little bit of loss of words for it because I just remember draft day. I remember exactly where I was when it was draft. I was on a job interview for a teaching position in Colorado. And I outran basically a snowstorm to get back to my hotel room to watch a watch the draft and see who the Rams are going to take. And that was the day they took Aaron Donald. And I got on the phone with Norm, our host here, and we just talked through, and he was so excited. And he was so thrilled. You know? Wow. Wow. And now it's years later, and just a reminder how quickly time passes, and it has passed. You know, was it? That's it. It's just all those years later. I'm so grateful. Anyways, that's it for the show today, folks. We went down a little bit of memory lane.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron Donald, for the 10 years you gave the Rams. Thank you for all the memories. And thank you for being the guy I will talk to my grandkids about one day as the best I've ever seen play. Follow us on Twitter, Talk Rams. Follow me at DC Apollo. Follow Mike at 1Duke23. Until next time, we're out of here. Have a great one.
We're out of here.